Amen. God bless you all. You may be seated. Well, for those of you that maybe missed a week or you're here for the first time today, we are going to dive into week three of a sermon series that we started, coincidentally, 3 weeks ago. Life is a highway. Life is a highway. This is part three. Now, I asked this question last week, and so if this is a test that you failed last week, I'm giving you a do-over. What was the primary theme of week one? Does anyone remember? Did you write it down last week?
Attention,
determination. All right, Dylan, you're halfway there. Attention, direction,
destination.
Good. Hey, way to step out, Dill. All right, way to be a man there. Good job. Attention, direction, destination. There's a process. There's an order. And then last week we talked about three different categories of believers. Number one, trailblazers,
truckers,
and tourists. Man, you guys are just like, you're on it. Good job. Trailblazers, truckers, and tourists. Well, I had the opportunity to talk to Miss Irene after service was over last week. And she talked about the fact that there is one of those categories, and I want to make sure to honor her and to honor all the moms that are on this planet. The person that impacted me more in my life than any one human being was my mom. My mom was a trucker. My mom was a servant. She was one who made sure that her kids had the supplies that they needed, not only physical, not only tangible, but the spiritual supply that they needed. And so, Miss Irene, I want you to know, moms are my heroes. Truckers. Trailblazers, truckers, and tourists. Trailblazers represent that segment of our culture, of our society, that make a way where there is no way. They make a road where there is no road. Trailblazers are really, really important to say, I'm going to be a forerunner. I'm going to be that man, that woman that God has called me to be. Then we need truckers to travel that road. We need truckers to make sure that the people that are at the end of the highway or at stops along the highway have everything that they need to carry out the assignment that God has called us as individuals to carry out. And then you've got tourists. They're those that are just kind of snapping pictures along the way, but aren't necessarily getting involved and having an impact on those around them. Again, the title of this series is Life is a Highway, but what is the purpose of a highway? I want you to think about this for a minute. Highways are ultimately laid and utilized for the purpose of enabling people and products to quickly and effectively move from point A to point B. To summarize that theme, highways are utilized for the purpose of engaging in effective movement. Highways are for the purpose of us being able to move, to transition, to get people and products where they need to be, when they need to be there. Well, there's a spiritual context to that. There is a highway that God has called us to travel. And there is an assignment that He's given to us to make sure that we are engaging with people and engaging in the process that is required for people to step into that place where they can do what God has called them to do, where they can be what God has called them to be. Movement is required. Well, there's a specific highway described in Scripture that God desires for every human being to travel. This highway that we'll discuss a little bit more in detail in just a minute has been divinely designed for the purpose of effective spiritual movement. The subtitle for today's message, three different categories again, sinners, soldiers, and saints. Again, last week we talked about trailblazers, truckers, and tourists, but those categories, trailblazers, truckers, and tourists, are not inherently progressive. In other words, you don't necessarily move from trailblazer and then to a trucker and then to a tourist. God forbid, that would be a terrible progress. Okay? So they're not inherently progressive. You might be a tourist and then become a trailblazer and then a trucker. You may or may not be those things. There might not be a progressive element to that. But the three categories listed in today's subtitle all send the message of spiritual progression, progress that we can make from being a sinner, then to a soldier, and ultimately to the saint that God has called and prepared us to be. It is often a hard and winding and bumpy journey from sinner to soldier and from soldier to saint. That journey takes place on a highway that is filled with potholes, speed bumps, and detours. And there are always construction zones, missed signs, and accidents along the way. Those unexpected delays that typically seem to come at the most inopportune times. In spite of the frustrations of these delays and detours, God uses every one of these circumstances to remind us that He is our only trustworthy GPS. A God positioning satellite, if you will. See, we all have these. Does anybody know what GPS stands for? Global Positioning Satellite. Well, God wants to be our GPS. He wants to be the one who positions us where He determines for us to be. Now, I'm curious to know if anybody here is as unbright as I am when it comes to traveling. How many of you use a GPS when you travel? All right, here's the unbright aspect of what I just mentioned. How many of you use a combination of a GPS and your internal sense of direction at the same time? I do that and it never, ever, ever works. I'm thinking, okay, the GPS is telling me to go this way, but I'm sure if I go this way, it will work out so much better. It has never, not one time, worked out better for me when I've done that. And we do the same thing with a God positioning satellite. We hear God's still small voice and He's guiding us and He's saying, here's the direction I want you to go. But we go, oh, but wait, I have an idea, God. How about if we do it my way? How about if we go this direction? I know, Lord, that You're leading me to go here, but there's this quicker way. There's a better way. And if I go that way, God, I can arrive at the same destination and it will be so much less painful. It will be so much shorter. Shortcuts aren't always the best way to go. And they're typically not the direction that God leads us to go. It is when and only when we trust completely in His guidance that He gets us from point A to point B safely and in His timing. Have you ever gotten on a road and you thought, man, this will get me where I want to go more quickly? And you got on that road and you realized that you got there before you should have. And if you had waited just a little bit longer, everything would have flowed so much more easily and naturally and effectively. I listened to a preacher many years ago talk about a trip that he was going to be taking to Latin America to do a missions assignment. And he got a flight that was cheaper and earlier than he initially planned on. And he thought, man, I can get that earlier flight. I can get there faster. I can have less stops. And I'll get there early, and I can be prepared to do what I need to do. And he was sure it was going to work out. And at the last minute, he just felt this real uneasiness that he was getting ahead of God. I don't know if you've ever heard of a preacher by the name of Andrew Womack. He's based out of Colorado Springs. He's the one who was telling the story. And the Lord dealt with him and said, I don't want you on that plane. God had confirmed to him that the flight he was supposed to take was later. And God, he had peace about it, but he got in a hurry. And the last minute he said, man, I can't do this. I'm getting ahead of God. I'm trying to do things my own way. And he got back on the initial flight that he wanted to fly. And that plane crashed and killed every person on board. He knew that his direction, his timing, left a knot in his stomach. And there was this uneasiness. He was like, I've got to obey the Lord. I've got to obey the Lord. Even though this direction and this timing and this vehicle makes more sense to me. He didn't do it. He listened to the voice of the Holy Spirit in his life. We will always get ourselves into trouble when we attempt to blend our emotional and mental sense of direction with God's divine guidance system. I'm going to say that again. We will always get ourselves into trouble when we attempt to blend our emotional and mental sense of direction with God's divine guidance system. Let me give you an example. In Proverbs 14:12, in the Amplified Version, it says, there is a way which seems right to a man and appears straight before him, but at the end of it is the way of death. That word way in Proverbs 14, verse 12, comes from the Hebrew word that means a highway or a chosen road. There is a highway or a chosen road which seems right to a man. How many of you here have ever made a decision because it just seemed right? It feels right. Don't ever listen to your feelings. Your feelings will lie to you. I promise you, they will lie to you. You've heard me talk about this before. Follow your heart. Your heart is the seedbed of your emotions, your feelings, your mind. Your mind, your will, and your emotions is what the Bible refers to as the soul. And so soulish decisions are flesh-based decisions. And the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And so when we follow things that feel right and seem right, they will take us in a direction very often that aren't right. They will cause us to arrive at a place that God never called us to be. But it feels right. And Solomon in Proverbs 14:12 says, but at the end of that way, that highway or chosen road that feels right or seems right, that's the way of death. The Hebrew word for way in verse 12, again, it comes from that Hebrew word derech. And it describes a journey, it describes a course of life or a mode of action. A course of life or a mode of action that feels right and seems right, that has not been submitted to the direction of the Holy Spirit, is a dangerous road. It's a dangerous road that very often we will not know the destination until we experience that painful end. The only highway that provides a clear and foolproof signal to our internal GPS, that God-positioning satellite, is described in Isaiah 35, verses 8 through 10. I mentioned last week over 30 verses I found that actually refer to the word highway in Scripture. And it is amazing how many highways are good ones and how many highways are bad ones. The determination between a good one and a bad one is not a highway that seems smooth and straight and easy. It's the highway of God's choosing. Because there are times that He chooses for us to go on a bumpy highway that seems like, man, I wish I didn't choose this road. And then you find out later the other road had a massive accident of which I could have been a part. Or a massive accident in front of me that could have caused a level of delay that was not a God-determined delay. Sometimes God is the one doing the delaying in our lives. Well, why am I having to wait? Why do I have to wait? I'm sick of waiting. I don't want to wait anymore. I hate waiting. And then we realize, oh, man, if I had gone earlier, bad stuff was waiting for me. So in Isaiah 35, verses 8 through 10, it says, and a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It, the highway of holiness, shall belong to those who walk on the way. I've read this verse many, many times, and I don't remember this last part of verse 8. I'm going to read that whole verse 8 again. I want you to really listen to this last part. And a highway shall be there called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. It's like, what? I mean, I had to, you know, get out my Bible app and pull out all, you know, I got a pile of Bibles and I'm looking at all these different translations. And no matter which translation I looked at, it said the same thing. Listen to this. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. You know what that says to me? God's saying, if you have a hunger for holiness inside of you, I will give you wisdom where there isn't any. Does that make sense? Because he's saying, your intellect does not impress me. God would rather a humble, servant-hearted, holiness-pursuing fool who says, Jesus, I want to follow your way, than a person who thinks he or she is really, really intelligent, saying, I'm going to choose my own road. Thank you very much. Verse 9, no lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. The word redeemed and the word ransomed, they have the same meaning. What does it mean to be redeemed? To purchase out of something. To be ransomed out of something. I mean, I'm sure all of us have, you know, watched Columbo and some of those old crime dramas on TV. I used to love Columbo. Oh, one more thing. Invariably, you know, every fourth episode, there would be somebody that got kidnapped and a ransom that was expected. You pay me X, and you can have your family member back. You can have your friend back. Jesus ransomed us. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away, on the highway of holiness, is what is being referred to here. The word way in verse 8 is that same word, derech. Course of life or mode of action. The word holiness in verse 8 comes from the Hebrew word kodesh, and it's defined as something sacred, consecrated, dedicated, or hallowed. That's holiness. Something sacred, consecrated, dedicated, or hallowed. Now, we cannot be holy without the infilling of the Holy Spirit inside of us. He is the one who makes us holy, but in addition to God just coming and filling us and saying, you're now my child, I'm now going to fill you, in addition to that and in concert with that is a decision that we make consciously to say, I am going to embrace that mode or course of action. I'm going to embrace that. And I want to be in Christ someone sacred, consecrated. You know what that word consecrated means? To intentionally be set apart for God's purposes. That's a decision that we make through the direction and the compulsion of the Holy Spirit inside of us, helping us, guiding us, empowering us, enabling us, saying, you can, it's like a dad who says to his son, ready to learn how to ride that two-wheel bike for the first time, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it, but you got to pedal. Does this make sense? It is the holiness and the goodness of God inside of us that enables us, but we got to pedal. You ever seen that dad push his son on the bike and he's gone for a while because his dad gave him that push, but if that little boy, that little girl didn't start pedaling, that bike was going over. God loves us so much and he wants to fill us, he wants to overflow in our lives in really, really powerful ways, but we have to make a decision to be consecrated, to be dedicated and hallowed and set apart for God's purposes in our lives. Holiness is a divinely given fire starter by the Holy Spirit that we have to continually fan. We have to fan that holiness flame. We have to fan it. We got to say, God, I got to keep. That's why Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift of God within you. We were talking about that in our prayer time this morning. Stir it up. There's a fire that God places, ember that He places inside of us. But how do we stir that up? How do we continue on that highway of holiness? Time on our knees in our closet of prayer. Time with our nose in the book, His Word. Time seeking Him and waiting on Him. You know, it bugs me. Eastern mysticism has stolen a word that started in God's Word, the word meditation. We've turned it into this sitting in the lotus position and going, oh. Meditation is something that God said, I want you to get alone with me. I want you to wait on me. I want you to listen to me. I want you to keep your ear tuned into my voice, and then when you hear my voice, respond. Obey. That's meditation. Looking into God's Word and saying, okay, God, what does this really mean? What are you really, truly saying to me? And then getting quiet and waiting and thinking, saying, Lord, show me. That's meditation. That's a part of that consecration process, setting yourself apart, saying, I don't want to go my own highway. I don't want to choose the road that I travel. I want you to choose it, Holy Spirit, and I want it to be a highway of holiness. This passage is not only describing and defining those who are holy, it is also describing and defining the outflow of that holiness. In 1 Thessalonians 3, 8 through 13, it says this, starting at verse 8, for now we live, if you are standing fast in the Lord, for what thanksgiving can we return to God for you? For all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day that we may see you face to face and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father Himself and the Lord Jesus direct our way to you. Now may our God and Father Himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you, and may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all His saints. So when I first looked this up, I was focused on verse 13, so that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness. And then as I was studying this past week, I noticed in verse 11, there was that word way. It's a Greek word this time, not a Hebrew word. It was a Greek word, and the Greek word is hodos. And guess what the definition is? A highway, a mode or means to take a journey. It is just laced through there. God is saying, there is a way that I have for you. There is a way that I want you to walk, Doug. There's a way that I want you to walk, Cheyenne, Marcy, Klaus, Oli, Randy, Jamie. There is a way, there is a way, a mode of operation and a specific route for the journey that I have in store for you. Before there was a global positioning satellite, if there was a journey that you wanted to take, you had to get out a map. We've got a roadmap. The Holy Spirit is that God positioning satellite. This is our map. We follow the directions that we can find in this book. It will lead us to God's intended destination for us. Every one of these passages that we've looked at this morning points to the central theme of holiness. Holiness is not a destination that is stumbled upon by tourists. Holiness is an intentionally traveled highway that leads to a divinely prepared destination. Jesus said in John, the Gospel of John 14, verses 1 through 4, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. This is Jesus speaking. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also, and you know the way to where I'm going. He's telling him, yeah, I'm going ahead of you, but you know the highway that leads to where I'm going. It is not, you know, something, what's that movie, that Nicolas Cage movie, the National Treasure? This is not some thing where we gotta break the code. It's like, I'm giving you the code, I'm giving you the map right here. You know the way. And it's a way of obedience that causes us to say in humility, God, I can't make this journey without you. I don't have the strength. I don't know how to recognize the detours that the enemy will put in front of me. Jesus said, you know the highway to where I'm going. This place where Jesus has gone to prepare a place is for us is that divinely prepared destination. And this divinely prepared destination is only reached after we have made a decision to travel the highway Christ carved out for us. The highway Christ Jesus has called us to travel is a toll road. It's not free. And see, it sounds like a really spiritual thing to say, man, the gift of the salvation is a gift. It is. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach some blasphemy. But that gift costs somebody immensely. It cost the Father the life of His Son. It cost Jesus immeasurably rejection of His own people, torment, ridicule. Abuse of immeasurable levels. The gift that we have was very, very costly. And the road that Jesus has called us to travel is a toll road. Not everyone chooses to travel this highway because there is a price to pay. How many of you have ever been on a journey and you had a choice? I can either take the toll road. Many of you on your GPSs, it'll come up. This is a toll road. Do you want to take this route? And I believe Jesus is telling us the road that I am asking you to travel is a toll road. Is this a price you're willing to pay? See, I believe many pastors in many churches all around the world do people a major disservice because we make the Christian life out to be this piece of cake, no problems, no issues, you get saved and everything's fine. Your life is going to be harder in many cases as a Christ follower in this world than it will be if you're not. It will. It is costly. There is a price to pay to travel this toll road. Salvation is a free gift, but traveling on the highway of holiness is a costly journey. In Hebrews 12, verses 14 through 15, it says, strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Did you hear that? Strive for peace with everyone and strive also for holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Hey, live and let live, Doug. You shouldn't even be talking about this. It's not up to me to determine how you live your life. That's between you and the Holy Spirit. But the writer of Hebrews 12:14 is making it, is making it very, very clear that we will not see the Lord in the absence of holiness. Holiness is birthed and initiated by the Holy Spirit Himself. But are we peddling? Are we peddling? Our peddling does not save us. It is grace. It is only through grace. Grace through faith. And that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. This gift of salvation. It is a gift. But after we receive that gift, there is something that God is asking of us to show gratitude and a pursuit of Him. Robbie and I have talked over and over and over the course of 28 years of marriage that when our marriage relationship is healthy, it is at its healthiest when there's a constant state of pursuit of one another. God doesn't want us to receive the gift of salvation and then stop the pursuit. Pursuit is pedaling that bike to say, I want to get closer to you, Jesus. And I know you went to prepare a place for me. And I know, God, that you have a journey that you've called me to take. I know there's a specific highway that's a toll road that you've asked me to travel. And God, this is going to be costly, but you are worth it. Are we willing to pay that price to ride on that highway? Verse 15, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God and that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble. And by it many become defiled. There's a root of bitterness that often rises up inside of us and we become defiled because the bitterness takes on more authority and more power in our lives than our pursuit of holiness. Does that make sense? We've got a choice to make. God, do I want to be holy? Do I want to love? Do I want to forgive? Do I want to have grace and mercy? Not only do I want to receive it, but do I want to give it to others? That's a constant decision that we've got to make. The word holiness in verse 14 comes from the Greek word hagiosmos, and it means sanctification, consecration, being set apart. See, nobody wants to be strange. Maybe there's a few that do. I don't know. Actually, I've met a few that I think maybe they act like they do want to be strange. I don't know. But God has called us to be different. He has called us to live a life that's different than the lives that are being lived in the world. But we are so afraid of the opinions of man that we would rather embrace sameness with the culture than holiness according to the direction of God's Spirit. Holiness is an expectation that God says, are you willing to walk a different road? Being set apart for God's sovereign and eternal purposes requires that we pay attention to the road signs in our lives. What might some of those road signs be? Worry? Doubt, fear, repeated temptation. See, it's not a sin to be tempted. You know that Jesus was tempted? He was tempted in every way, just like you and I will be tempted. But these road signs, as we're traveling this toll road, we see the sign that says fear ahead. What do? We're traveling the toll road and we see a sign that says fear ahead. What do? Exit and or stomp on the brakes. It's like reverse. See, fear is never going to be absent from our lives, but that's where when we're living and holding us, we can say, God, you will give me courage to confront this fear that makes me want to get off the highway. God spoke to and through the prophet Jeremiah who alluded, actually let me go back to Proverbs 16:7. The highway of the upright turns aside from evil. Whoever guards his way preserves his life. See, there are some road signs like temptation ahead. God wants us to get off. See, God sometimes causes the detours because we get, have you ever you got in your vehicle, maybe it was a long trip, and you just vegged out, and man, you were just going. Willis, you told me about that. How long ago was it that you took that trip with that young guy? You said you ended up in a destination you never planned on going. He just got in the car with this guy, and they had themselves a real good conversation, and they ended up a place they didn't plan on being at all. We need to pay attention to the road signs. There are some signs that God places in front of us, and he said, pay attention to that sign. I want you to get off. Or here's a sign I want you to pay attention to, and it's a bumpy road coming ahead of, for you, but you got to stay on this road. You got to stay on here. You got to keep moving because this is the road that I have for you to travel. In Jeremiah 31:21, listen to this. Set up road markers for yourself. This is 4,000 plus years ago this was written. Set up road markers for yourself. Make yourself guideposts. Consider well the highway, the road by which you went. Now, key word, went. So Jeremiah is speaking to the Israelite people about decisions that they had already made. Right? Are you tracking? Set up road markers for yourself. Make yourself guideposts. Consider well the highway, the road by which you went. And then he said, return, O virgin Israel, return to these your cities. He's saying, you took a road that took you away from where I wanted you to be. You got on the wrong road. You got on the wrong highway, and it was not the highway of holiness. And I'm going to read very quickly. There's a lot of verses here, but I want to read so you guys can have context. Starting at verse 3, the Lord appeared to him from far away. I have loved you with an everlasting love. He's speaking to Jacob, his people. He's speaking to Israel. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. Again, I will build you. You shall be built, O virgin Israel. Again, you shall adorn yourself with tambourines and shall go forth in the dance of the merrymakers. Again, you shall plant vineyards in the mountains of Samaria. The planter shall plant and shall enjoy the fruit. For there shall be a day when watchmen will call in the hill country of Ephraim. Arise and let us go to Zion, to the Lord our God. For thus says the Lord, sing aloud with gladness for Jacob, and raise shouts for the chief of the nations. Proclaim, give praise, and say, O Lord, save your people, the remnant of Israel. Behold, I will bring them from the north country and gather them from the farthest parts of the earth. Among them, the blind and the lame, the pregnant women and she who is in labor, together a great company, they shall return here with weeping. They shall come, and with pleas for mercy, I will lead them back. I will make them walk by brooks of water in a straight path in which they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, and declare it in the coastlands far away. Say, he who scattered Israel will gather him, and will keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. For the Lord has ransomed Jacob, and has redeemed him from hands too strong for him. That word ransom and those words ransomed and redeemed again. For they shall come and sing aloud in the height of Zion, and they shall be radiant over the goodness of the Lord, over the grain, the wine, and the oil, and over the young of the flock and the herd. Their life shall be like a watered garden, and they shall languish no more. Then shall the young women rejoice in the dance, and the young men and the old men shall be merry. I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness for sorrow. I will feast the soul of the priests with abundance. And my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, declares the Lord. Thus says the Lord, a voice is heard in Ramah. Lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel is weeping for her children. She refuses to be comforted for her children because they are no more. Thus says the Lord, keep your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears. For there is a reward for your work, declares the Lord. And they shall come back from the land of the enemy. They shall come back. There is hope for your future, declares the Lord, and your children shall come back to their own country. I have heard Ephraim grieving. You have disciplined me, God, and I was disciplined like an untrained calf. Bring me back that I may be restored, for you are the Lord my God. For after I had turned away, I relented, and after I was instructed, I struck my thigh. I was ashamed. You just hear the passion. I was confounded because I bore the disgrace of my youth. I want you to see the picture there. What is he hitting? What does this represent? His legs. What did I do? What did I do? I went in a direction, God, that you didn't want me to go. But God is saying, I forgive. Come on back. I forgive. Come on back. I forgive. Struck my thigh. I was ashamed. I was confounded because I bore the disgrace of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he my darling child? For as often as I speak against him, I do remember him still. Therefore, my heart yearns for him. I will surely have mercy on him, declares the Lord. The context provided for the verse 20, the first these 20 verses that I just read of Jeremiah, is a very clear discourse on the dangers of traveling on the road of unholiness. It was a road that took them away from God's plans and purposes. It's the reminder that God provided through Jeremiah that we are to pay attention to the warning signs on the highway of either unholiness or the highway of holiness. It is the reminder that God is saying to us that He, again, we jump all the way down now to verse 21, because the context, and I read verse 21 before I read those other verses just now. I want to read verse 21 one more time. Set up road markers for yourself. Make yourself guideposts. Consider the highway. Consider well the highway, the road by which you went. He's saying, consider it. Now you're on the back side of it. And I'm saying, come on home. Come on back. I'm waiting for you. I'm ready to open my arms to you and embrace you and say, welcome home, my child. But he's saying, now moving forward, consider that highway by which you went. What's he saying? Don't take that road again. There's danger on that road. When we submit ourselves to the Lordship of Christ, God will make our way straight. In the last passage, Proverbs 15:19, the path of the upright is a level highway. God is saying, I want you to hear my voice. I want you to know the plan that I have for you. It is a level highway. It's a good road. I will lead you on this road. That's the cry of God's heart. Is there anyone here that would say, I've traveled some rough roads in my day? Anybody? Traveled some rough roads, led me to destination that I really didn't want to arrive at. But in God's grace and His mercy, you heard Him calling in His still small voice, like He did to Ephraim. He said, come on back. I've got a road for you. And we've all traveled those highways. Whether we realized it or not, we've all done it. It might have just been a quick, oop, got on the wrong highway and we got back off again. For most of us, it was more than a quick mistake. For most of us, it was a conscious decision. No, Jesus is over here, but I'm taking that road. And He led us. He led us. Jesus loves us. And I really, truly believe when we make a decision to take the on-ramp to the highway of holiness, it brings Him unbelievable joy. It brings Him crazy level of joy to say, wow, my boy, my girl wants to be on this highway with me. With our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, I want to ask you today, are you currently on that highway? When you came into this place today, when you walked into this sanctuary today, were you currently on the highway of holiness? Now again, the highway of holiness, I want to say this very briefly, it's not simply because you prayed a prayer 25 years ago and you asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins. Highway of holiness is a highway that requires you to pedal, to continue to move in the direction that the Holy Spirit is leading you to walk. With our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, is there anyone in this place that would say, Pastor Doug, you know what, I'm not even sure if I'm on that highway, but I just want you to pray for me. Nobody's going to be embarrassed. Nobody's looking around. By you lifting your hand, all you're saying is, would you pray for me because I want to be on that highway. That's all you're saying. Can I see that hand? God bless you. I see that hand. Is there anyone else? I see that hand. I see that hand. Anyone else? I see that hand. Anyone else? I want to be on that highway. Heavenly Father, you see hands, you see hearts, you know what's going on. For all of us, God, we all fail, we all blow it, every single one of us. And Lord, I start with me. I think about all the times that I've failed you, all the times that I took those detours, all the times that I intentionally took the off-ramp off of the highway of holiness. But you never stopped loving me. And you continued to just pour your grace out. And you were patient with me, and you were kind with me, and you were long-suffering. Thank you, God, that you gave me and you've given us all the ability to hear when you whisper. I love you. Come back. I love you. Come be close to me. Thank you, Jesus, that you are good and your direction always leads us to your intended destination for our lives. We give you honor, we give you glory, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.